When John asked me to write a text for the catalog addressing the work of Reverón in the context of Latin American art from the 20th century, I knew that I would have to struggle with a complex case, with an artist that appears as an exemption, as a difficult individual, almost unclassifiable. Most of the art done in the early 20th century in Latin America was determined by certainty and avant-garde promises. None of that messianism, none of that certainty, none of that will to power is present in Reverón's work. His work deals with uncertainty and addresses the difficulty of perception, the confusion of things, the porosity between intelligence and intuition, between light and darkness, between reason and madness. Suddenly I thought, while writing that text, that Reverón was closer to poets than painters and artists of his time. That Reverón, his obsession with Arcadian figures, his continued representation of sleepiness, his evocation of lifeless bodies, his sarcastic conception of beauty, his impulsion towards defiguration and monstrosity were themes and motifs of poets such as José Antonio Ramos Sucre, his Venezuelan peer and contemporary, José Lezama Lima, Cuban, Xavier Villaurrutia, Mexican, Enrique Tarbelo, Venezuelan, César Moro, Peruvian, Idea Vilariño, Uruguayan, all of them among the greatest poets during the 20th century in Latin America and often unknown to the American audience. This is the reason we decided to organize this reading. I have to thank my friends and colleagues José Luis Blondet, José Falconi, and Alejandro Merizalde, who generously accepted to help us in doing this reading, who met several times to set this selection of poems and to discuss with Alejandro his wonderful translations of these often impossible, difficult, hermetic poems. Our gratitude goes also to Laura Bales, who enthusiastically supported us, inscribing this reading in the wonderful series of poetry events she has been organizing here at MoMA, as well as to David Little, always ready to produce these great events. I have to publicly acknowledge Janine Gutierrez Guimaraes, curatorial assistant at the Department of Drawings, who really did not need one more endeavor in her busy agenda, and without whom this would have not been possible. And also to Jessica Ventura, our intern, who offered us incredible help with several tasks. Last but not least, I have to thank Laura Perez and Monica de la Torre, who will be reading the English versions of these poems. We invited them with such short notice, actually yesterday, and they generously agreed to join us in the podium. Monica is a poet, and she will be reading her own poems in the forthcoming exhibition of Gego at the Drawing Center, and maybe she can announce the date later on. And both Laura and Monica are well-known writers and translators. Both of them are actually working with us at MoMA on the forthcoming publication about Alfredo Bulton and the Venezuelan art scene, which is a book within a series of publications on Latin American national art scenes that the international program under the direction of Jay Levinson has been publishing here at MoMA. A little word about the program tonight. We don't want to suggest any form of illustration between the poems we will be reading and the Reverón paintings we will be showing alongside each other. We chose these poets and poems because we found a Reverónian spirit within them. You have a handout that contains all of the poems translated into English, so you can follow the program. Each poem includes the country of origin, date of birth and death, when it applies, of the author, title and date of the poem, title and date of the paintings by Reverón, as well as the name of the person that will be who will be reading the poem. The order is chronological by date of poems, starting with José Antonio Ramos Sucre in 1927, which is a Reveronian year, the year of the wide landscapes, and ending with Vicente Gervasi, also Venezuelan, in 1952, 2 years before Reverón passed away. We had some difficulty matching a poem by Jorge Luis Borges, whom we needed to include in this reading, with a specific Riveronian year, so we decided to close this reading with El Poema de los Dones, albeit it was written by Borges in 1960. It is a poem about vision and blindness, about sleep and oblivion, and it thus resumes a whole Riveronian world. Thank you very much, and then we will be reading these poems.
José Antonio Ramos Sucre, Venezuela, 1890-1930, Preludio de la Torre de Timón, 1927. Yo quisiera estar entre vacías tinieblas, porque el mundo lastima cruelmente mis sentidos y la vida me aflige, impertinente amada que me cuenta amarguras. Entonces me habrán abandonado los recuerdos. Ahora huyen y vuelven con el ritmo de infatigables olas y son lobos aullantes en la noche que cubre el desierto de nieve. El movimiento, signo molesto de la realidad, respeta mi fantástico asilo. Mas yo lo habré escalado de brazo con la muerte. Ella es una blanca Beatriz, y de pies sobre el creciente de la luna, visitará la mar de mis dolores. Bajo su hechizo reposaré eternamente, y no lamentaré más la ofendida belleza ni el imposible amor.
José Antonio Ramos Sucre, Venezuela, 1890-1930. Prelude from La Torre de Timón, 1927. I'd like to be amid the empty darkness, because the world cruelly hurts my senses and life afflicts me, impertinent lover that tells me of bitterness. By then, memories will have abandoned me. They flee and return with the rhythm of tireless waves and are howling wolves in the night that cover the snow desert. Movement, unpleasant sign of reality, respects my fantastic haven, but I have climbed it holding hands with death. She is a white Beatrice, and standing on the crescent of the moon, she will visit the sea of my pain. Under her spell, I will eternally rest and no longer regret offended beauty nor impossible love.
Enriqueta Arvelo Larriba, Venezuela, 1886-1962. Dos poemas del libro Voz Aislada. 1930-1939. Emoción y ventaja de la probada profundidad. Gracias a los que se fueron por la vereda oscura, moliendo las hojas tostadas. A los que dijeron, espéranos bajo ese árbol. Gracias a los que se fueron a buscar fuego para sus cigarrillos y me dejaron sola, enredada en los soles pequeños de una sombra olorosa. Gracias a los que se fueron a buscar agua para mi sed y me dejaron ahí, bebiéndome el agua esencial de un mundo estremecido. Gracias a los que me dejaron oyendo un canto encelvado y viendo, soñolienta, los troncos bordados de lanas marchitas. Ahora voy, indemne, entre las gentes.
Enriqueta Arevalo Larriba. Emotion and advantage of proven depth. Thanks to those who left through the dark path, crushing the dried out leaves. To those who said to me, wait for us under that tree. Thanks to those who left wanting to light their cigarettes and left me alone, tangled in the small suns of a fragrant shade. Thanks to those who went in search of water for my thirst and left me there, drinking the essential water of a shaken world. thanks to those who left me listening to an untamed chant and drowsily watching tree trunks embroidered in withered wools. Now, among the people, I go undamaged.
Toda la mañana ha hablado el viento. Del libro Voz Aislada, 1930-1939. Toda la mañana ha hablado el viento, una lengua extraordinaria. He ido hoy en el viento. Estremecí los árboles. Hice pliegues en el río. Alboroté la arena. Entré por las más finas rendijas y soné largamente en los alambres. Antes, ¿recuerdas? Pasaba pálida por la orilla del viento y aplaudías.
All morning the wind has spoken, 1930-1939. All morning the wind has spoken in an extraordinary tongue. Today I have been the wind. I shook the trees. I creased the river. I tussled the sand. I entered through the thinnest openings and sounded along the wires prolongedly. Before, do you remember? Ashen looking, I would pass by the edge of the wind, and you applauded.
César Moro, Perú, 1903-1956. El fuego y la poesía, parte 4. De la tortuga ecuestre, 1936-1939. El agua lenta, el camino lento, los accidentes lentos, una caída suspendida en el aire, el viento lento, el paso lento del tiempo lento. La noche no termina y el amor se hace lento. Las piernas se cruzan y se anudan lentas para echar raíces. La cabeza cae, los brazos se levantan. El cielo de la cama, la sombra cae lenta. Tu cuerpo moreno, como una catarata, cae lento en el abismo. Giramos lentamente por el aire caliente del cuarto caldeado. Las mariposas nocturnas parecen grandes carneros. Ahora sería fácil destrozarnos lentamente, arrancarnos los miembros, beber la sangre lentamente. Tu cabeza gira, tus piernas me envuelven. Tus axilas brillan en la noche con todos sus pelos, tus piernas desnudas, en el ángulo preciso, el olor de tus piernas, la lentitud de percepción, el alcohol lentamente me levanta, el alcohol que brota de tus ojos y que más tarde hará crecer tu sombra. Mesándome el cabello, lentamente subo hasta tus labios de bestia.
César Moro, Peru, 1903-1956. Fire and Poetry, Part Number 4. From La Tortuga Ecuestre, 1936-1939. The water slow, the road slow, the accidents slow. A fall suspended in midair, the wind slow, the slow pace of the slow time. The night doesn't end and love turns slow. The legs are crossed, and they slowly tangle as to grow roots. The head falls, and the arms are raised. The heaven of the bed, the shadow falls slow. Your dark body, like a cataract, falls slow in the abyss. We turn slowly amidst the warm air of the heated room. The nocturnal butterflies look like enormous rams. It would be easy to slowly destroy us right now, tear our members and slowly drink their blood. Your head turns. Your legs wrap around me. Your armpits shine at night with all their hair. Your naked legs in the precise angle, the slowness of perception. The alcohol slowly awakens me. The alcohol that gushes from your eyes will later make your shadow grow. Pulling out my hair, I slowly climb up to your beastly lips.
José Gorostiza, México, 1901-1973. Presencia y fuga del poema frustrado, 1936-1939. Presencia y fuga. Te contienes, oh forma, en el suntuoso muro que opones de encarnada espuma al oscuro apetito de la bruma y al tacto que te erige luminoso. Dueña así de un dinámico reposo, marchas igual a tu perfecta suma, ay, como un sol, sin que el andar consuma ni el eco mismo de tu pie moroso. Isla del cielo, viva en las mortales congojas de tus bellos litorales, igual a ti, si fiel a tu diseño, colmas el cauce de tu ausencia fría, igual si emanas de otra tú, la mía, que nace a sus insomnios en mi sueño.
José Gorostiza, Mexico, 1901-1973. It's a poem, Presence and Flight, in the book del Poema Frustrado, 1930-1936. You contain yourself, O form, in the sumptuous wall of incarnated foam that you oppose to the dark thirst of haze and to the luminous touch lifting you. In possession of a dynamic rest, you wander equal to your perfect sum, O, like a sun whose pacing won't tire even the echo of your morose foot. Island of the sky, alive among the deadly sorrows of your beautiful shores, identical to yourself, if faithful to your design. You overwhelm the stream of your cold absence, likewise as if emanating from another one yourself, mine waking to its insomnia in my sleep.
Xavier Villaurrutia, México, 1903-1950. Del libro Nostalgia de la Muerte, 1938. Cementerio en la nieve. A nada puede compararse un cementerio en la nieve. ¿Qué nombre dar a la blancura sobre lo blanco? El cielo ha dejado caer insensibles piedras de nieve sobre las tumbas, y ya no queda sino la nieve sobre la nieve, como la mano sobre sí misma eternamente posada. Los pájaros prefieren atravesar el cielo, herir los invisibles corredores del aire, para dejar sola la nieve, que es como dejarla intacta, que es como dejar la nieve. Porque no basta decir que un cementerio en la nieve es como un sueño sin sueños, ni como unos ojos en blanco. Si algo tiene de un cuerpo insensible y dormido, de la caída de un silencio sobre otro y de la blanca persistencia del olvido, a nada puede compararse un cementerio en la nieve. Porque la nieve es sobre todo silenciosa, más silenciosa aún sobre las losas exangües, labios que ya no pueden decir una palabra.
Javier Villaurrutia, Mexico, 1903-1950. Cemetery in the Snow, from Nostalgia de la Muerte, 1938. Nothing can be compared to a cemetery in the snow. How to name whiteness over white? The sky has hailed insensible stones of snow over the graves, and nothing is left except snow over snow, like a hand eternally resting on top of the other. The birds prefer to go through the sky to hurt the invisible corridors of air and leave the snow alone, which is like leaving it untouched, which is like leaving it snow. Because it's not enough to say that a cemetery in the snow is like sleep without dreams or like white sightless eyes. If it resembles an insensitive and sleeping body, the fall of silence over silence, and the white persistence of oblivion, then nothing can be compared to a cemetery in the snow. Because snow is always silent, and even more over the lifeless graves, lips that no longer speak a word.
José Lezama Lima, Cuba, 1910-1976. Del libro Enemigo Rumor, 1941, el poema A, que tú escapes. A, que tú escapes. en el instante en el que ya habías alcanzado tu definición mejor. Ah, mi amiga, que tú no quieras creer las preguntas de esa estrella recién cortada que va mojando sus puntas en otra estrella enemiga. Ah, si pudiera ser cierto que a la hora del baño, cuando en una misma agua discursiva se bañan el inmóvil paisaje y los animales más finos, antílopes, serpientes de pasos breves, de pasos evaporados, parecen entre sueños, sin ansias levantar los más extensos cabellos y el agua más recordada. Ah, mi amiga, si en el puro mármol de los adioses hubieras dejado la estatua que nos podía acompañar, pues el viento gracioso, se extiende como un gato para dejarse definir.
José Lezama Lima, Cuba, 1910-1976. From Enemigo Rumor, 1941. Oh, that you escape. Oh, that you escape at the instant in which you would have reached your best definition. Ah, my friend, that you refuse to believe the questions of this newly cut star that goes on soaking its edges in another enemy star. Oh, were it to be true that at bathing time, when in the same discursive water bathe together the still landscape and the finest animals, antelopes, serpents of brief steps, of evaporated steps, appear dreamily to calmly lift the longest of hairs in the most remembered water. Oh, my friend, if in the pure marble of farewells you would have left the one statue willing to accompany us, because the wind, the gracious wind, stretches out like a cat allowing itself to be defined.
Eliseo Diego, Cuba, 1896-1996. Dos poemas de En la calzada de Jesús del Monte, 1946. La casa abandonada. Hacia el final de la escalera te has dado vuelta. En el vacío de abajo, el viento solitario hacia las veces de trajín y la penumbra está sucia de olvido. Pero arriba, en el piso de arriba, el cúmulo de inútil sueño aguarda. Vas a entrar en él, a sumergirte, con la mano puesta en el balaustre, acariciándolo te quedas. Poco a poco, no vas así a bajar la vista, que escuche el torvo zumbido de la mosca que se afana contra el ciego cristal. Hay alguien en el primer peldaño. Espera, mira, tú estás en el primer peldaño. Lívido te estás mirando a ti con toda el alma, como si fuese para siempre. Y ya no estás arriba, ni tampoco abajo. Zumba sola por fin, la torva prisionera.
Eliseo Diego, Cuba, 1896-1996. The Abandoned House, from En la Calzada de Jesús del Monte, 1949. Towards the end of the staircase, you've turned around. In the downstairs void, the solitary wind bustles, and the darkness is dirty with forgetting. But up, in the floor upstairs, the accumulation of useless sleep awaits. Are you entering it? Are you submerging yourself in it? With your hand caressing the banister, you stay. Little by little, you're not going to lower your sight. Listen to the twirling buzz of the fly that strives against the blind glass. There's someone on the first step. Wait. Look. It is you on the first step. Pale, you're looking at yourself with all your soul, as if it were forever. And you're no longer upstairs or downstairs. It buzzes alone at the last of the captive twirl.
Mi rostro. Como un extraño, mi rostro se sorprende cuando lo encuentro fugaz en los espejos, Sus labios tiemblan con angustioso dejo, como de infancia que cierta noche aprende los harinados terrores del payaso. Teme saberme tiniebla recubierto de piel tan solo, el instrumento incierto donde mi nombre suena sordo. ¿Acaso sin el retablo lejano que desdoro están mis cejas nocturnas elocuentes en las diversas especies del azoro, el hondo surco, esta nariz sapiente, vieran al centro de mi pausado coro, quien el tambor del pecho doble hiriente?
My face, 1949. Like a stranger, my own face is surprised when I briefly find it in the mirrors, its lips throbbing with the anguished frown of childhood that on a certain night learns the flowered terrors of the clown. It fears to know that my skin is only covered in darkness, the uncertain instrument where my name sounds deaf. Perhaps if in the distant altarpiece where I scrape my own nocturnal and eloquent eyebrows in the diverse species of melancholy, if the profound wrinkle the sapient nose could see the center of my tranquil choir, who then folds the hurtful drum of my chest?
Idea Vilariño, Uruguay, 1920. Dos poemas de Paraíso Perdido, 1949. Si muriera esta noche. Si muriera esta noche. Si pudiera morir. Si me muriera. Si este coito feroz, interminable, peleado y sin clemencia, abrazo sin piedad, beso sin tregua, alcanzara su colmo y se aflojara. Si ahora mismo, si ahora, entornando los ojos me muriera, sintiera que ya está, que ya el afán cesó, y la luz ya no fuera un haz de espadas, y el aire ya no fuera un haz de espadas, y el dolor de los otros, y el amor y vivir, y todo ya no fuera un haz de espadas, y acabara conmigo, para mí, para siempre, y que ya no doliera. Y que ya no doliera.
Idea Vilariño, Uruguay, 1920. Two poems from Paraíso Perdido, 1949. If I die tonight. Were I to die tonight, if I could die, if I died, if this ferocious coitus, endless, beaten and merciless, embrace without pity, kiss without truce, were to reach its climax and release itself, if right now, if now, I were to die rolling my eyes, feeling that this is it, that my will had ceased, and if light were no longer a beam of swords, and air were no longer a beam of swords, and the pain of others, and love, and life, and everything else were no longer a beam of swords, and it wiped me out, for me, forever, and if everything would no longer hurt, and if everything would no longer hurt.
El que come noche, de Paraíso Perdido, 1949. Hombre, tu boca canta, bebes estrellas, hombre. Te devoras la noche mientras cantas, desdeñado del cielo, de Dios, de la sonrisa, bebes. Tu boca canta. En la más pura ley, número blanco, hondo número blanco y entregado a la mano de piedra, a la mano del resplandor inerte, a la del canto y cantas. Y he aquí que la vida, he aquí que la muerte, su tijera cansada. O número, número blanco y piedra, tigre florido, almendra de amargura, que canta así, que busca, de la boca del verde controlado, de la boca del ver, de la del verde, de la del verde canto y paz y blanca piedra, que busca así, que salta, el dueño del dolor, el necesario, que canta así, que acento, o número blanco y piedra, tarea sin grandeza, amarga obra, escuela de silencio.
The Man Who Eats the Night, 1949. Man, your mouth sings, You drink the stars. Man, you devour the night while you sing. Disdained by God's heaven, by laughter, you drink. Your mouth sings. In the purest of laws, white number, deep white number, and offered to the hand of stone, to the hand of the inert shine, to the one of song, and you sing. And so it is that life, so it is that death, its tired scissors. Oh, numb number, white number, and stone, floral tiger, almond of bitterness. What is he singing like that? What is he looking for? From the mouth of the green, controlled, from the mouth of seeing, from the green one of singing and peace and white stone. What is he looking for like that and jumping for? The bearer of pain, the needed one. What is he singing like that? What accent? Oh, numb number, white number and stone, task without grandeur, bitter work, school of silence.
Juan Sánchez Peláez, Venezuela, 1922-2003, del libro Elena y los elementos, 1951, Profundidad del amor. Las cartas de amor que escribí en mi infancia eran memorias de un futuro paraíso perdido. El rumbo incierto de mi esperanza estaba asignado en las colinas musicales de mi país natal. Lo que yo perseguía era la corza frágil, el lebrel efímero, la belleza de la piedra que se convierte en ángel. Ya no desfallezco ante el mar ahogado de los besos. Al encuentro de las ciudades, por guía los tobillos de una imaginada arquitectura, por alimento la furia del hijo pródigo, por antepasados los parques que sueñan en la nieve, los árboles que incitan a la más grande melancolía, las puertas de oxígeno que estremece la bruma cálida del sur, la mujer fatal cuya espalda se inclina dulcemente en las riberas sombrías. Yo amo la perla mágica que se esconde en los ojos de los silenciosos, el puñal amargo de los taciturnos. Mi corazón se hizo barca de la noche y custodia de los oprimidos. Mi frente es la arcilla trágica, el cirio mortal de los caídos. La campana de las tardes de otoño, el velamen dirigido hacia el puerto menos venturoso o al más desposeído por las ráfagas de la tormenta. Yo me veo cara al sol, frente a las bahías mediterráneas, voz que fluye de un césped de pájaros. Mis cartas de amor fueron secuestradas por los halcones ultramarinos que atraviesan los espejos de la infancia. Mis cartas de amor son ofrendas de un paraíso de cortesanas. ¿Qué pasará más tarde, por no decir mañana?, murmura el viejo decrépito. Quizás la muerte silbe ante sus ojos encantados la más bella balada de amor.
Juan Sánchez Peláez, Venezuela, 1922-2003. Profundity of Love, from Elena y los Elementos, 1951. The love letters I wrote during childhood were memoirs of a future lost heaven. The uncertain course of my hope was carved on the musical hills of my natal country. What I longed for was the fragile goat, the ephemeral greyhound, and the beauty of rock that transforms into an angel. I no longer faint before the sea drowning in kisses, to the encounter of cities, as a guide the ankles of an imaginary architecture, as food the fury of the prodigal sun, as ancestors the parks that dream in the snow, the trees that incite the greatest melancholy, the doors of oxygen that shake the warm mist of the south, the fatal woman whose back inclines sweetly to the shady shores. I love the magic pearl that hides in the eyes of the quiet, the bitter dagger of the taciturn. My heart became a vessel for the night and guard for the oppressed. My forehead is the tragic clay, the mortal candle of the fallen ones, the bell of autumn afternoons, the sails heading to the least venturous port, or to the one most wrecked by the gust of the storm. I see myself facing the sun, facing the Mediterranean bays, voice that flows from a lawn of birds. My love letters were kidnapped by ultramarine hawks that cross the mirrors of childhood. My love letters are offerings from a heaven of courtesans. What's going to happen later, not to say tomorrow, mumbles the decrepit old man. Perhaps death will whistle before his charmed eyes the most beautiful ballad of love.
Vicente Gervasi, Venezuela, 1913-1992, del libro Los espacios cálidos, 1952, el poema Documento de los sentidos. Documento de los sentidos. He aquí un propósito de alucinado, un paso más a orillas del abismo, hacia el fondo agreste de la música, donde duerme una pastora rodeada de hierbas del año, hacer el relámpago sobre materiales de sombra, iluminar hongos en rincones forestales, despertar el agua en su silencio de serpientes azules. He aquí que soy un habitante del sonido, de la humedad, del hueso, en un espacio turbio de mercado donde se derraman las manzanas y las piñas, donde brilla el ojo de la sardina. Había dejado atrás a mis padres recogiendo bellotas en el crepúsculo, vistiendo espantapájaros en una luz de confín. Mis hijos vinieron de la sombra pastoreando conejos, recogiendo estrellas en el césped. ¿Dónde estaba yo cuando descubrí la música que hace desbordar las flores del día como en un espejo? Mi edad había iniciado una cacería de venados bajo las palmas, había guiado el entierro de un labriego hacia el paraje lúcido de las cigarras. ¿Hacia dónde iba yo cruzando las noches del bambú y la luz de los gavilanes? Entré a la ciudad oyendo las campanas, mirando las ventanas abiertas en un mezclaro. El perfil resume a los arcángeles, despierta estatuas en el crepúsculo. La ciudad después de la lluvia es el espejo oscuro de los mendigos. He aquí un propósito de alucinado, fundar un espacio de lumbres, de escarabajos, de rostros, en el documento de los sentidos.
Vicente Gervasi, Venezuela, 1913-1992. The poem Document of the Senses, from the book Los Espejos Cálidos, 1952. Here is the resolution of a hallucinated man, another step on the edge of the abyss, toward the untamed depths of music, where surrounded by the year's herbs a shepherdess sleeps. To make thunder over materials of shade, to illuminate mushrooms in the corners of the forest, to awaken the water from its silence of blue serpents. So it is that I am an inhabitant of sound, humidity, and bone, in a murky corner of a market, where apples and pineapples are spilled, where the eye of the sardine shines. I left my parents behind harvesting acorns at dawn, dressing up scarecrows in a light of distance. My children came back from the shadows grazing rabbits, harvesting stars from the lawn. Where was I when I discovered the music that floods the day's flowers like in a mirror? My age had begun a hunting of deer under the palms and had led the funeral of a countryman to the lucid dwelling place of the cicadas. Where was I heading when crossing the bamboo nights and the light of the sparrows? I entered the city hearing bells and looking at the open windows in a clear month. Contour synthesizes archangels, awakens statues during twilight. The city after the rain is the dark mirror of panhandlers. Here there is the resolution of a hallucinated man to found a space of fire, of scarabs, and of faces in the document of the senses.
Jorge Luis Borges, Argentina, 1899-1986. De El Hacedor, 1960. El poema de los dones. Nadie rebaje a lágrima o reproche esta declaración de la maestría de Dios, que con magnífica ironía me dio a la vez los libros y la noche. De esta ciudad de libros hizo dueños a unos ojos sin luz, que solo pueden leer en las bibliotecas de los sueños los insensatos párrafos que ceden las albas a su afán. En vano el día les prodiga sus libros infinitos, arduos como los arduos manuscritos que perecieron en Alejandría. De hambre y de sed, narra una historia griega, muere un rey entre fuentes y jardines. Yo fatigo sin rumbo los confines de esta alta y honda biblioteca ciega. Enciclopedias, atlas, el oriente y occidente, siglos, dinastías, símbolos, cosmos y cosmogonías brindan los muros, pero inútilmente. Lento en mi sombra, la penumbra hueca, exploro con el báculo indeciso, yo que me prefiguraba el paraíso bajo la especie de una biblioteca. Algo que ciertamente no se nombra con la palabra azar rige estas cosas. Otro ya recibió en otras borrosas tardes los muchos libros y la sombra. Al errar por las lentas galerías, suelo sentir con vago horror sagrado que soy el otro, el muerto, que habrá dado los mismos pasos en los mismos días. ¿Cuál de los dos escribe este poema de un yo plural y de una sola sombra? ¿Qué importa la palabra que me nombra si es indiviso y uno el anatema? Crusaco Borges, miro este querido mundo que se deforma y que se apaga en una pálida ceniza vaga que se parece al sueño y al olvido.
Jorge Luis Borges, Argentina, 1899-1986. Poemas de los dones, From the Maker, 1960. Let no one demean to tears or reproach this declaration of the majesty of God, who with magnificent irony gave me at once books and night. Of the city of books he granted ownership to sightless eyes that can only read in the libraries of dreams the senseless paragraphs yielded. By the will of dawns, in vain the day bestows these eyes with its infinite books, arduous as the arduous manuscripts that perished in Alexandria. Of hunger and thirst, tells a Greek story, among fountains and gardens dies a king, while I aimlessly wander through the confines of this high and profound blind library. Encyclopedias, atlas, Orient and Occident, centuries, dynasties, symbols, the cosmos and cosmogony are offered from the walls, but purposeless. Slow in my shadow, with indecisive cane, I explore the hollow dimness, I who foresaw paradise in the form of manner of a library. Something which is indeed not defined by the word chance rules these matters. Another man already received in other blurry afternoons these same books and shadow. While wandering through the slow galleries, I often feel with a vague and sacred horror that I am that other man, the dead one, that has walked the same steps in the very same days. Which of the two writes down this poem of a plural self and single shadow? What can it matter, the word that names me, if the anathema is unique and indivisible? Crusacor Borges, I look at this beloved world that fades and loses shape in a pale and vague ash that resembles sleep and oblivion.
Thank you.